Now, breaking news from WREL. Coverage you can count on.
We begin with breaking news. This is a live look as crews are on the scene right now at a fire in Wake County. Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Let's talk more about this fire. This is happening on Davis Drive in Apex. You can see multiple fire trucks there on the scene. Our photojournalist is roughly a half mile away from the home on that street there. It's blocked off, we're told, as well. Now, we will continue to ask firefighters if there are any injuries or deaths connected to it and how this fire started. Stick with us for updates on air and online at WREL.com. Also breaking tonight, one man is in critical condition after police say someone stabbed him in downtown Raleigh in the middle of the day. This happened near the Moore Square bus station. WREL's Carly Haynes is live tonight at that scene. And Carly, crime has been a continuous problem in that area.
It has, Julian, and the city has proposed several things to try to curb it. We're near Blunt Street between Moore Square Park and the bus station right now. This part of the street has been closed off for several hours while investigators work to check out the scene. This is what we know so far. According to the Raleigh Watch Commander, this happened around 2:20 this afternoon. The victim was having a confrontation with the suspect in the crosswalk by the bus station when he was stabbed in the upper chest and neck area. He was taken to the hospital to undergo surgery. We've learned he has very serious injuries at this point. Well, crime in this area around the bus station isn't new. Earlier in September, a man was stabbed near this bus station just across from Moore Square Park. Some people we spoke to today said it's changed how they enjoy the city.
We kind of avoid the downtown area altogether. The vibe has very much changed. It's not necessarily as safe as what it used to be, so we tend to try and keep in the little suburban areas outside of downtown.
The city of Raleigh recently announced plans to hire private security to help patrol parts of the city, including Moore Square and Blunt Street. As far as this stabbing goes, still no suspect in custody, but police tell us that they're reviewing footage of the suspect lurking around the bus station earlier in the day. Julian.
All right. Follow up will continue on that investigation. Carly Haynes is reporting live for us in downtown Raleigh tonight. Thank you. We are also reaching out to learn more about two separate shootings under investigation in Nash County. One of them killed a person. We first reported this last night at 10 p.m. This was the scene on East 6th Street in Nashville yesterday evening. Police say a 911 caller told dispatch her nephew was shot at her home there. A second person who was shot in the leg was found near the Harold Coley Library, also in Nashville. Now, investigators say someone is detained. They did not identify the victims of the shooting or the person detained. Police say the public is not in danger. A fire at a Fayetteville multifamily home displaced two people. It happened around 2:30 in the Matthew Court area. The fire was in the Unit B, we're told. A firefighter arrived to find heavy smoke. They quickly put it out. No one was hurt. Firefighters say it started as a cooking fire. The Red Cross is helping with people who live there. This is a live look over the U.S. Capitol, where a late-night agreement kept the government from shutting down. The way it came together could put House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on the hot seat. Lucas Tomlinson explains why.
You shouldn't have gotten here in the first place. It's time to end governing by crisis.
President Biden weighing in Sunday on the last-minute spending deal reached by Congress, blaming hardliners in the GOP for pushing the government to the brink of a shutdown.
Extreme MAGA Republicans voting for deep, drastic spending cuts from 30% to 80% that would have been devastating for millions of Americans.
The bill passed Saturday is a 45-day continuing resolution. That means federal spending stays at current levels for the next 6 weeks. And we may be back in the same boat a month and a half from now. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was able to broker the deal by working with Democrats. But the bipartisan agreement has not been viewed favorably by some of his fellow Republicans. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz says he intends to file a motion this week to oust McCarthy from the speakership.
The one thing everybody has in common is that nobody trusts Kevin McCarthy. He lied to Biden. He lied to House conservatives. Kevin McCarthy's goal was to make multiple contradictory promises, to delay everything, back us up against shutdown politics, and at the end of the day, blow past the spending guardrails he'd agreed.
And even Gaetz drawing some support from the other side of the aisle.
Would I cast that vote? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Kevin McCarthy is a very weak speaker. He clearly has lost control of his caucus.
McCarthy says he's not concerned.
So be it. Bring it on. Let's get over with it and let's start governing. If he's upset because he tried to push us in a shutdown and I made sure government didn't shut down, then let's have that fight.
The House hasn't seen a formal effort to remove a speaker in over 100 years. Right now, it's not clear if Gates has the votes to do it. At the White House, Lucas Tomlinson, WRAL News.
More than $3 billion. That's how much money North Carolina lawmakers are spending on economic development in the new state budget. Let's talk more about it. The spending comes in all shapes and sizes, repaving the NASCAR track, preparing land for a new factory, military aviation projects, even building sewage lines. There are some massive new projects in the state budget, too, like $500 million aimed at helping local university researchers turn their ideas into startup companies. For more details on all the new efforts to improve the state's economy, find a full breakdown at nccapital.com. An anti-violence play is capturing the state's attention. In her monthly newsletter, State Superintendent Kathy Truitt urged 115 school districts to book State of Urgency across North Carolina. The student production performed by Hillside High School students in Durham addresses violence. Now, this comes at a critical time when some districts across the state dealt with fights at school and football games. Now, we talked to Wendell Tabb, the director of the production. He shared why it's important to every school district.
No school is immune. Whether it's a public school, charter school, or private school, we all have to come on board.
All right, I got to talk to Mr. Tabb earlier this week, and he has more information. If you would like to book the play, call the number you see on your screen right there, 919-906-0840. You will hear more about the play later tonight at 10 and 11. Starting today, student loan repayments are picking back up. Millions of Americans now have to resume making those payments for the first time in over 3 years. Now, the pause went into effect during the pandemic. The Education Department says borrowers should receive some type of billing statement at least 3 weeks before the bill's due date. While payments resumed this month, interest already started accruing a month ago on September 1st. Durham City Manager is offering up to 3 new options for city employee bonuses. Wanda Page plans to present them at the next city council meeting on Thursday. A previous strike by sanitation employees brought a new level of attention to this topic. That came after pushes from Durham police and fire departments for higher pay. Workers were not satisfied with Page's first and last proposal, and city leaders delayed a decision on bonuses at a meeting last month. We'll continue to follow what happens with that. Duke Energy Progress started implementing new rates in North Carolina today. Initial changes resulted in an $8.04 increase per month for typical residential customers. Low-income customers will receive assistance through a customer assistance program with a $42 monthly credit for 12 months. Former President Jimmy Carter's family gathered to celebrate his 99th birthday today. They celebrated in Plains, Georgia. Now, Carter made a public appearance at the local Peanut Festival there with former First Lady Rosalynn Carter last week. Now, President Carter's grandson, Georgia State Senator Jason Carter, took a photo along with others celebrating the big day. President Biden also sent in a video message to mark the occasion. Happy birthday. Today, Selma's longtime police chief retired. We're talking about William Thomas, well known as Chief Billy. He's been on the force for 20 years. He began his career as a dispatcher in 2003. He became police chief in 2018. Now, Mayor Byron McAllister praised Thomas, saying, quote, "The positive impact he has had on the town of Selma cannot be overstated. We wish Chief Billy all the best in retirement." No one walked away a billionaire after the Powerball drawing last night. So that means, my friends, you still have a chance. One lucky winner in North Carolina, though, did win $2 million.
Oh, that's about $1 million after taxes, maybe 1.2 or something like that. Ooh, I know what I would do if I won that.
Oh, we want to hear what you would do. Please tell us. Well, we'll take you to the store that sold the lucky ticket next. Plus, with Bryce Young back on the field, could the Panthers score their first win of the season? Chris Lee is live in Charlotte with the highlights later in sports. Anthony.
Julian, we have a beautiful week on the way. Should be feeling very fall-like, but some changes into next weekend. Fall lovers are going to be very happy with this cold front coming through. I'll talk about what it means for our temperatures coming up right after the break.
Welcome back. We've had another Powerball drawing without a big winner in the jackpot, and now it officially crosses the $1 billion mark with a B. However, one lucky winner in North Carolina didn't win $2 million in last night's drawing. WRAL's Laura Levine stopped by the store where that ticket was sold.
The biggest come up of all time. I can't stop. $2 million?
There's a lot of excitement in Zebulon as people are going about their daily routine.
I'm excited for them and disappointed because I buy tickets here too.
The jaw-dropping news have stopped some in their tracks.
Oh, that's about $1 million after taxes, maybe 1.2 or something like that. Ooh, I know what I'd do if I won that.
The ticket matched the numbers on all five white balls to win $1 million. The prize doubled to $2 million when the multiplier hit.
I bet you're like, why couldn't that have been me?
Oh, definitely. You see my face as soon as I heard it. Oh, I was mad as a lady because I just bought a ticket 2 days ago.
Walter Scruggs works just down the road from here and shares how life-changing that amount of cash would be.
I think I'll move my family. Move my family to a bigger house. Move my kids to a better school. You know, just take care of the family around here.
And others say they would use it to invest.
I wouldn't go out and splurge and buy things that wouldn't net anything back.
The odds of matching numbers on all five white balls are 1 in 11.6 million.
I have a better shot at hitting the jackpot at the slot machine at the casino. To be honest with you.
And while someone did hit the jackpot at Murphy's, that wasn't the winning $3 million ticket, which means Monday's drawing now racks up to $1 billion.
Stay anonymous. Stay anonymous. Ooh, I don't know if they got a law you got to tell your name, but stay anonymous and enjoy this life right here.
Are you going to be playing again?
Oh, yes. I'm going to go buy a ticket right now.
Turn around and go back in.
I am right now. I promise you that.
And he did keep that promise, trying his luck one more time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had to go get some.
Oh, man. Laura Levine, WREL News in Zebulon.
Stay anonymous and enjoy that life. I'm not telling you, those are words to live by right there. All right, let's talk about this. Beautiful weather today, Anthony. It was so calm, so nice out.
Yeah, we're really winning the jackpot, if you will, as far as the weather's concerned, Julie. It's just going to be so nice this week. We have some changes, though, into next weekend. If you really enjoy the fall-like weather, yeah, we're talking 40s for morning temperatures, and then the afternoons probably in the 60s. Otherwise, a very calm week. We have sunshine, fall temperatures here in the 80s, upper 70s, low 80s, and then we do have that cold front coming in on Friday. Really minimal rain chances with that. It's going to be that temperature change that I think most of us will notice. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Let's get us outside, though, this evening. This is a live look from our tower here in southeast Wake County. A few clouds floating on by. It's a little gray here on this shot. It's kind of up elevated, of course, in the atmosphere, but we're still looking pretty good. No big issues for us if you're headed out over the next couple of hours. It's warm. It's a little bit humid, but not too uncomfortable. 80 there in Raleigh and Durham. 73 is where we sit in Roxboro. 79 in Fayetteville. And 78, a pretty comfortable 78 in Clinton. We see temperatures, though, tonight drop into the 50s. Low 50s there in Roxboro. 52. Clear skies, calm winds. It should be a very good, just calm forecast over the next couple of days. 56 there in Fayetteville. 55 in Goldsboro. Out the door tomorrow morning. So depending on your comfort level, maybe a light jacket, a sweatshirt to get started. We'll still see high temperatures mainly this week in the low 80s. We're at 83 tomorrow, a couple degrees warmer than where we were today. 81 on Tuesday, 82 Wednesday. Most of this week still feeling like the upper 70s, low 80s. It's beyond that when we get into next weekend where that cold front comes through. That's where I want to take us. So kind of get you a preview of what we're expecting here. This is Friday morning. And so as the name implies, this front here, that's the cold front itself. You can see all of that blue up to the north of it. It drags all that colder air down really from Canada at this point, overspreads a huge chunk of the country, at least basically half at this point, all the way across the Ohio Valley, all the way down here toward North Carolina, South Carolina. Morning temperatures, so Sunday morning, Monday morning, likely in the 40s. Afternoons are going to be in the 60s. It will not come with rain. We still have the clouds floating on by, the sunshine. It's really going to be pretty nice. And I'll take you here even into Monday morning, Monday afternoon. We still keep kind of that seasonable forecast. forecast there. That begs the question, when are we going to start seeing the colors changing, everything getting going here for the fall season? There's a live look right now, Grandfather Mountain. Not a whole bunch of color as we would expect showing up at this point. There's a little bit of that kind of red showing up here on the side of the camera. Looks like as we go into the month of October, probably the later parts of the month here back toward the mountains, early November for most of our areas. So we still have a little bit of ways to go if you want to take some beautiful fall pictures of all the leaves and stuff like that. But it's certainly hard to believe that season that we're going forward here over the next couple of weeks. Let's talk about the tropics here. This is Tropical Storm Philippe, 50 mile per hour winds. That one's still expected to be a Category 1 hurricane. No major changes with that. It's going to stay to the east of Bermuda. There is a Category 1 hurricane into Thursday and Friday. Look at that picture. Perfect forecast, though. 83 tomorrow, 81 on Tuesday. Julian, we have sunshine just about every single day. Maybe a quick spritzer, if you will, there on Friday into Saturday.
Yeah, but I feel like Sunday, that 68 needs to be talked about, right?
Yeah, that's the big thing on this forecast. And those morning temperatures, like I said, in the 40s. So it's going to be the coolest air this season.
Okay. Thanks, Anthony. Pat is with us, and Bryce Young is back.
And he looked better today, just not when it really counted. So we're going to go live to Charlotte to get reaction from another disappointing performance by Young and head coach Frank Reich next.
Dwindling down and get it off.
You draft a quarterback number one, first there's hope, and then there's angst. Panthers fans experiencing all the emotions with Bryce Young, and after today's game, we still have more questions than answers. It is the battle for 0-4. Panthers-Vikings, this was definitely a who wants to lose it more. Let's go to the first possession. Kirk Cousins says, oh, pick me! And he's picked by Sam Franklin Jr. He's taken it 99 yards for the touchdown. That's a 14-point swing, one of the most penalizing plays in the game. Young, good completion numbers, passing just not when it counted. Drive stalls in the red zone. Panthers settle for a field goal. It's 10-0. You know, it helps when you have weapons. Vikings respond, 10-play drive. Cousins to Justin Jefferson. And there's the gritty from the best receiver in the game, 13-7 Panthers at the half. Third quarter, Bryce looked comfortable until he looked overwhelmed. Promising drive ends with a 51-yard fumble six. Felt like this game should end at a tie. No one deserved to win. After a quick three and out, Vikings strike again. It's Cousins who, guess who? Jefferson. Panthers lost Dante Jackson to injury in this one. Secondary could only do so much. Minute to go. Fourth and goal. Young looking for a memorable moment, and he's sacked. Panthers fall to 0-4, 21-13, the final. So let's go live now to Chris Lee at Bank of America Stadium. Chris, another good defensive performance, another close game, yet the story remains the same. Panthers are 0-4.
Yeah, Pat, this was a really strange game. Their offense actually dominated time of possession, 38 of the 60 minutes. Their defense played a decent game, getting two takeaways and holding one of the more explosive offenses in the NFL mostly in check. But the Panthers still lose 21-13. Of course, there were protection issues for Bryce Young. He was sacked five times in this game, three times alone from Harrison Smith. There were also stalled drives. It felt like the Panthers, every time they got near or inside the 20, they couldn't come away with anything to show for it. And of course, you mentioned it, the fumble six, where 51 yards, DJ Wonnum gets the scoop and score, takes it to the other end. That was the difference in the game. After the game, Bryce Young took most of the blame, his teammates saying that they're not functioning well as a unit.
It's not a great feeling, and that's not, we all feel that in the locker room. It's not a great feeling. Lost a lot of, haven't won yet. It's not a great feeling. We go and put our heart and soul into stuff, and we don't get the result. It's not great. It's this league. It's a business. It is what it is.
I got so much confidence in him, so much respect for him and this offense and this team. It doesn't make it feel any better, but that's just kind of what I was just telling him.
No pointing fingers at anybody, but you know, everybody. It's not just one person. It's everybody that has to do with this. You know, it's the whole offense, and it's something that we gotta change quick, or it's this is going to be the tell of our story this year.
Now, Pat, we just heard from Bryce Young, and in that sound, when we were in the room there listening to him, It felt like he was about to start crying. It looked like he was holding back tears at that moment. Right now, the Carolina Panthers are 0-4. He's personally 0-3. He never went through that at Alabama. He never went through that at Modern Day High School. This is new territory for Bryce Young. The Carolina Panthers 0-4, the only other team that's winless in the NFL, the Chicago Bears. And this only benefits the Chicago Bears because they have the Panthers' first-round pick next year because, well, the Panthers traded for them to get Bryce Young. So this isn't good territory for the Carolina Panthers at this moment.
C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson tearing it up doesn't help either. Thanks, Chris. More from you later on. If you need a pick-me-up, Taylor Swift is going to be at the Sunday Night Football game tonight. It's Jets and Chiefs. You can watch it right here on WRAL tonight at 8:20. So there's playing for money, then there's playing for country. Rory McIlroy had to be restrained yesterday at the Ryder Cup. He had words with Patrick Cantlay's caddy, Joe LaCava, who stood on his line on the 18th green. Cantlay and the Americans closed the gap to 5 Saturday on this putt, still needing the biggest comeback of all time. McIlroy said he texted LaCava, quote, "Everything's fine." McIlroy leading the way for the Europeans during singles play. He went 4-1 Sunday. He was their top scorer, knocks in this putt right here. Big retribution for him. Now, the U.S. got some life thanks to Xander Schauffele. This putt cut the lead to 14-10, but the U.S. needed a perfect finish. And after Ricky Fowler's tee shot went in the water, Tommy Fleetwood just needed to not mess up to win. Americans concede from there, and Europe wins the Ryder Cup. And Julian, the U.S. has not won a road match in this since 1993.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thanks, Pat. We need to get Bryce Young more time, too, I think. All right. Thanks, guys, for watching and joining us tonight. Have a great night, and do me a favor, stay safe out there. We'll see you later.